Okay, good morning. Welcome to the special meeting of the Clallam County Public Utility District Commissioners for May the 19th, 2022. I may have trouble with my Wi-Fi, and if so, I'll turn off my video, see if that works, and you'll miss my smiling face. But anyway, let's proceed. Our first item here is comments from the public. T, do we have any comments from the public?
Can't hear her, Wilbur.
Are you muted?
She's not muted, but looks like she's having audio problems. If anybody from the public would like to make a comment, please let me know now. Hearing none, Will.
Okay, we'll proceed with business items. We've got one business item today. It's an invitation to bid number 220801, water main replacement. Mr. Tom Martin.
Morning, Commissioners, and thank you for setting up this special session so we can keep this project moving, the Clallam Bay Lower CQ main replacement. So this is the second construction project that we're going out to bid for on this overall infrastructure upgrade project for Clallam Bay CQ. This is the larger of the two projects. We just started up the last one. Yesterday we had a pre-construction meeting. So this one is for downtown CQ and all the side streets around there. Highway 112, the western part, west of Middle Point towards CQ, where the landslide did not occur. It was on the east part. And then within Clallam Bay proper, along 112 past the high school, Bogashield Street, and all the side streets between. So we're looking at approximately 12,500 linear feet of water main replacement. And the engineer's estimate is $4,215,000 with Washington State sales tax. So the staff requests a motion and a second, and a vote to authorize the staff to publish a notice for this job.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Are there comments or questions?
No, but I've lost my screen here. Can you hear me, Will?
Yeah, I can hear you, Joe.
Okay, so I just lost all video here. Not sure how to turn it back on, but go ahead. I don't have any comments. One question. Tom, this is pretty much what you briefed us on about 3 years ago when we were out there, showed us all those different places we were having flooding and bad mains and so forth.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Tom, in your write-up, you mentioned the burst pipe method.
Right.
That doesn't sound good, Tom, but could you explain that, please?
Well, this pipe bursting is planned for the side streets up in CQ. So there's not a whole lot of room to put a new main next to the old one because of county sewer and stormwater and electric, everything's in the street. So what pipe bursting is, we basically pull a new pipe through an existing pipe by bursting the pipe is bursted as you pull through a device that, makes room for the new pipe to be inserted where the existing pipe is.
So this is like slip lining. Is this going to be PVC or?
I think it's going to be more HDPE through there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So similar to PVC.
Okay, good. Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
And for me.
Okay, well, do we have a motion?
Yeah, I'll move
it. I've got the agenda in front of me, so I can't see the name.
Okay, well, I'll move that we approve an invitation to bid number 220801, water main replacement.
Okay, thank you.
I second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to authorize district staff to publish a notice to the Seattle Daily Journal of Commerce or by other means as determined by staff.
Did I hit the off button?
To be prudent, to invite qualified contractors to submit formal sealed proposals for bid number 220801 for construction of a water main replacement on several streets in Clallam Bay proper and downtown CQ for an estimated project cost of $4,426,000, including Washington State sales tax. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Okay. We're going to move on to staff reports. First one is progress on the water MOU and water right process. Tom, you're on again.
Hey, where my Carlsberg hat now?
Yeah.
Tom, you should be able to share just fine now.
Okay, I'm going to share my screen. Where did you go? That's not working.
Okay, well, I can bring it up.
I can see it, Tom.
Okay.
You can.
Okay. Yeah, we can, yeah.
All right. Well, then I see something different. It's not a okay. So this is the update. Starting off with the mitigation plan. You can see that slide, top priority. And so the mitigation concept, mitigate first, water rights second. So the county is responsible for gaining the plan, the approval of the plan from ecology, and that's necessary for getting the water right. So on March 16th.
Hey, Tom, we just lost your presentation.
You just lost my presentation?
There, now it's back.
It's on this screen, and my camera's over here, and it's over here. So I'm not looking off into space, kind of. It's because I have two screens.
You're reading a teleprompter, Tom. We know.
Okay, so on March 16th, we submitted, the county and I in the district submitted the revised draft mitigation plan to ecology. So that was, you know, about 2 months ago. And so the mitigation concept is the same. We're shifting production of water from a shallow aquifer to a deeper aquifer, and that reduces the stream flow impact. So the aquifer 4 impact in the draft mitigation plan is the most critical factor in the plan. That's what we're trying to get ecology to agree on. And to improve. So the revised impact shows, the analysis shows that the pumping of aquifer 4 results in 11.5% of the water impact will be coming from streams. And so that has to be mitigated, that impact. So the plan is to provide enough mitigation to meet the requirements for the build out of the urban growth area. And so urban growth area requires 261 acre feet of water that needs to be mitigated for full build out. And to do that, we need to shift 260 acre feet of water from our existing well over to the, from LUD 10 to the Van Land well. And so you see it's almost a one-to-one ratio between shifting 260 acre-feet of water, you get 261 acre-feet of new water that you can pump. So ecology listened to this revised plan. They didn't commit to commenting right away, but they did say they would provide comments in 1 to 2 months. And that was back in March. Now, here we are in May, and I got a call from Mike Gallagher of Ecology. Now, he was the one who was at the meeting. He's the lead guy from Ecology. He's the water resources director for the Southeast Southwest region. And he left me a voicemail on May 4th. He says he wants additional comment and a meeting with the Dungeness River Management Team. Now, what the Dungeness River Management Team has been in a team for decades. Just this year, they formed a special subcommittee called the Water Resource Technical Group, the WRTG. And they are reviewing all the water rights or water resources technical information that's out there now and seeing what additional information we need to improve our understanding of water resources in the Dungeness Basin. And so I think the purpose is more like what do we need to do to help prepare ourselves and be more resilient to climate change. So I think that's the underlying intent of this group. Well, Mike Gallagher from Ecology says, oh, that's a technical group. We'd like to run by your mitigation plan with this group and see what they say. So it took them 2 months to get back to me and say they want more meetings and more comments. And they the intent of Ecology here is to find out if there's going to be any parties out there that might be appealing the water right for the district in the mitigation plan. So he has not been very responsive. You know, I got back to him in a month, on April 16th. I said, okay, do you have your comments? And every week thereafter, I've been saying, do you have comments? Do you have comments? And he never responds. Finally, he responded with a voicemail, asked for a meeting. I said, okay, when do you want a meeting? And he hasn't responded to those now. So it just keeps dragging on. It's very difficult to get any meaningful progress.
Yeah, Tom, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is the county and other interested groups helping to expedite this thing and get some response from Ecology?
Well, they pretty much put it on me because it's our water right, and we have to submit it to Ecology, and we have to try to get them to respond. But it's also the responsibility of the county to get the water right and this plan approved. So they haven't been doing much except listening to me. I CC them on all my correspondences with Mike Gallagher, and they just sit there with me saying, what's going on? We're being delayed unnecessarily. We don't feel like we can do much about it.
Well, so, the county has a vested interest in this, and we do have a memo of understanding that they will help us with the water right issue. So
they do.
Don't know. Need to raise the ante, I guess.
Yeah.
You could probably get parties like the Realtors Association, the Builders Association, that, because they have a vested interest in this too. So
yes, I do.
Tom, do you know who Mike Gallagher's supervisor is?
Yeah, it's the overall Water Resources Section Director, Mary Verner.
And have you reached out to her and shared your issues?
Yeah, I've talked to her. I mentioned the lack of responsiveness in Ecology last year during some PUD Association meetings. And so she says she wants to attend the next meeting with that we have with Ecology. But, you know, that didn't happen until this March, and she was not there. So I could try and get her attention again. But if we have to bring her into a meeting, that would take even longer to try to arrange a meeting. So but reaching out to her boss hasn't been really effective. Might want to go up another run to the director of Ecology.
Well, don't make them
too. Have you talked to Mary Ellen Winborn, to kind of let her know what's going on? I mean, because they bug me occasionally about progress here, but, you know, like you said, they could help.
No, I haven't talked to Mary about this. Jim, but we can definitely escalate it to that level.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, so that's the top priority item. There are other things that we're working on in parallel with this to keep our plans moving forward. And so our plan is to build a blending treatment system. And we've already started the engineering on that. We're soon to get a preliminary, like 30% design on this system. And so the reason for this system is because of the nitrates in the existing LUD 10 well. They're at 7.64 parts per million in 2021. The maximum contaminant level is 10. And as you see in the graph there with the trend going out into the future, we're looking at an exceedance of the maximum contaminant level in 4 to 6 years. So the solution to that is to dilute the water in the from the existing well with the new well. The new well nitrates are non-detected in that well. It's very clean. So the treatment blends the two wells' waters together. If we shift 60% of the LUD-10 well to VanLand, that's going to actually provide mitigation. So this blending system integrates really well into the mitigation plan that we have. So by shifting our production from the nitrate high well to the low nitrate well, we're going to actually reduce stream flow impact and provide mitigation. The cost of this, though, is going to be $6.6 million, and that includes, you know, a transmission line going from the VanLand well to the end of Carlsberg Road to Carlsberg to tie into our existing distribution system, a blending tank, and a new pump station. So, so we're moving forward with that engineering and design as we're trying to develop a new MOU with the county. So the county wanted a new MOU to better define what we have existing, which is the interlocal agreement from 2013. And so they had a lot of different actions and responsibilities and stuff. I said, wait, we need to back off before we're jumping right into a solution. We need to lay out all of our interests first and take an interest-based approach and see what our individual interests are and see what our mutual interests are. So that's the first step. And so they have agreed to that and developing an MOU first and then an interlocal agreement second. Now, so the MOU just identifies our interests and the interlocal agreement identifies specific actions or a solution that can meet as many of our mutual interests as possible. And in addition, this interlocal agreement will be legally binding. According to our water rights attorney, an MOU is not. So we want to make sure that we end up with an ILA at the end. So I submitted a draft MOU to the county, which listed our interests. And the primary one, of course, is to protect the LUD's pioneers, their investment in the LUD. But we protect them by, you know, sure, we can expand the service area outside of our LUDs, but we can only expand it as much as we have mitigation already developed for that new water. So that assumes that Ecology approves this revised draft mitigation plan, and it's going to reserve whatever accumulation of mitigation credits we get for future water rights. So that's a big assumption. And we're going to agree to move forward with this blending treatment system. And then this is an important one, this third item. It's the maximum mitigation that we can provide by shifting the entire water right for our existing well over to VanLand. the amount of mitigation that we do by shifting the entire water rate, ultimately, you know, a long time from now, that would generate more water rights than the UGA full build out actually needs. So we're going to have some excess mitigation. And so what I've done is I've said, okay, well, we can expand outside of the UGA even a little bit more and include, let's say, the airport and maybe a half a mile around our existing service area. But we've limited to the maximum amount of mitigation we can get from our.
Now, Tom, you said this is sometime in the future. What's the story?
Yeah, this is ultimate full build out, 2060, somewhere around there.
So we're looking at decades, probably.
Yeah.
How does the Water Trust figure into this, or do they?
They do. Part of the regional plan here, outside of this, you know, expansion area that we're talking, this region around the UGA, that's where the rural areas of the county are. That's where 5-acre zoning primarily exists. And that's what the Dungeness Water Exchange is there to serve. They have their mitigation bank available to give out mitigation credits for single-family homes on 5-acre lots. And that's not what the DOD is here for. Yeah.
Well, the other question I had, you mentioned $6 million, which got my attention.
Yeah.
Is there, were you looking at ways to grants or funding for this?
Yeah, so the county was saying, okay, well, we have these ARPA funds, and we can use them for this funding treatment system. Back in June, when they first came out with these funds, we asked the county to consider funding this project. And back then, it was like, oh, it's just going to be for serving future growth. And that didn't make it highly eligible for receiving these ARPA grants. But then when we said, okay, well, we're going to use this system to treat the water quality problem, then all of a sudden, yeah, it becomes very eligible for ARPA funds. So the county was very motivated in getting us to agree to an MOU back, you know, right away in February and March. And I'm saying, well, wait a second. We don't have anything defined about how we're going to serve this greater region, and that's a huge interest of ecology. They want us to serve outside of the UGA. So I was told recently by Steve Gray, who I've been my main contact on this negotiating this MOU, and he says those ARPA funds are being given away pretty quickly by the county, but they are considering using opportunity funds from the county if no ARPA funds are left by the time we work through this MOU and get the mitigation plan approved.
Well, the PUD turned over $10 million to the county for Carlsberg. What's the status of that? Have they burned through that or what?
The $10 million was for the sewer. So yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
That's okay. So yeah, that's the whole basis for the 2013 LA. They agreed that to take the $10 million, and in return, we've got them to commit to us getting water rights for us till full.
Yeah, that's the linkage between the $10 million and what we're talking about, I guess.
Yes, right.
Okay, thanks.
So, I've got this idea, you know, for expanding our service area being only within the amount of mitigation that's been generated already. And the county is saying, well, we want you to expand to the entire UGA immediately, right away. It's like, we have to work that out. But, you know, we still need to get ecology to approve the mitigation plan. If all the stars align and they approve this whole mitigation plan, maybe we can expand out immediately to the entire UGA and to this entire half a mile region around it, including the airport. So the county commissioners probably would not be interested in serving outside of the UGA first. They want to serve inside the UGA first. So We're still working on that. So,
you know, it seems to me there's a lot of stakeholders in this. The EDC, the Builders Association, Realtors Association, anybody that has a vested interest in growth should support and help in dealing with the water rights issue. We're kind of caught in the middle of this, so we need help.
Yeah, especially the affordable housing issues really being
an
item with the county.
Exactly.
Well, Sean, and Tom, I think the EDC would like to hear maybe an update on this. I know she was asking me about this a few weeks ago, and I said, well, we're getting some updates from Tom now. But she might be willing, you know, Mary Ellen, not Mary Ellen, but
Colleen.
Colleen, yeah, might be willing to help push the envelope here.
Okay. Well, that would help. Here's the schedule that I have for developing the MOU. So in the next 2 weeks, we're hoping to have a draft MOU that we could submit to both boards, the county and the district. So on the 6th, we're hoping that to get on the agenda for the county work session so they can consider the draft MOU on the 8th. So that's a Tuesday, I think. No, that's a Monday because they have their work sessions on Mondays. So we can quickly respond to any comments, revise the drafts, submit it for district commission review on the 8th in preparation for the June 13th meeting. So you can provide comments on the revised draft then. And so the county and district staff will get together with both comments from both boards and prepare a final MOU and send it over to for your review on the 22nd in preparation for the June 27th meeting, where you can consider the adoption of the final MOU. And the day after, the county board meets on their formal sessions on Tuesdays, and they would adopt the final the next day. So then that we would have established all of our interests, and then we can move forward with generating the solutions to meet as many mutual interests as possible and have that in the ILA, and hopefully by September we'll have that for review and adoption. So where the EDC comes in to all this and stuff, you know, they can come to the work sessions and the preliminary commissioner meeting where you can take comment.
And also going forward, I think the EDC could give us some help with getting funding for some of this stuff too.
Okay.
Okay, Tom, is that all you had? We had questions or comments on that presentation? All right, thank you, Tom.
Okay, thank you, Commissioners.
Okay, our next item is an update on the transformer supply chain issue. There's a lot of interest in this, and so I would ask that we get updates going forward at each commission meeting to see how things are going. Hopefully there'll be some change in these supply chain, COVID, Ukrainian war. God, just there's now it's monkeypox. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. So, Sean, are you doing that one?
Yeah, I'll. John unfortunately couldn't be here today, so I'll give an update on this. So, as you know, we first brought this to your attention back in March, and then John gave a presentation last month. and gave a pretty good overview of the status regarding our transformer issue. So to date, we have pulled about 50 of our idle transformers from the field, and we have, after that, we currently have a deficit of about 80 units, which are needed for pending new service connections. The large order of transformers that we made last year that was scheduled to be delivered in October of last year was again postponed. We were supposed to get it this month, and now they have moved it out until July. Whether or not that holds true, it's anybody's guess. Currently, we have orders for 237 transformers that spread between multiple vendors, and all orders that we're being told the original ETA dates, basically we can disregard those because they're just going to keep getting pushed out. For orders that are being placed now, the vendors are telling us 66 to 84 weeks. And on the quotes, it clearly indicates that these are subject to change, as is the pricing on the quote. So it's not even a true quote. It's just an estimate that that's what it will be in a year from now.
So, Sean, is this specifically pad-mounted or both pole-mounted and pad-mounted?
Specifically to pad-mounted transformers, that lead time, but the pole-mounted transformers are also becoming an issue.
Yeah.
We have initiated a repair and refurbishment plan for the failed transformers that we bring back in from the field. It includes a contracted rewinding process that's probably going to produce a couple dozen units over the next few months. But again, it's just sort of scratching the surface on the real issue here. So what staff has done most recently, we've conveyed to local builders and contractors through the North Peninsula Building Association. We sent a direct letter to the Builders Association asking them to provide a letter to all of their customers. And we've also done direct mailings in-house to the contractors that we work with most, electricians, excavators, and just GCs. We can't process any more work requests that are requiring the equipment until we get resupplied. And we've also communicated to customers that have an urgent need. We can temporarily install a pole and an overhead transformer for what would have otherwise been planned as a ground transformer. And so we are also sending a letter to the city of Sequim so that they're aware that they might get requests from HOA that, you know, this is a temporary thing. We're going to put a pole and an overhead transformer in, and it'll be replaced when we get the pad mount. Because some HOAs won't allow that. Everything has to be underground, so some customers will ask for a variance on that. I also, APPA this week on Tuesday, sent a letter out to all member utilities in the United States saying that I'm writing to provide an update on our ongoing work to help address the extreme supply chain constraints faced by public power and the entire electric sector. This is a particularly important topic given the advent of hurricane season on June 1st and the ongoing threat of wildfires in the West. And the letter goes on to basically say that once the hurricane season, the wildfire season starts, it's just going to exacerbate the problem because there's going to be more demand for the transformers. I also met with last week, I met with George Kahn and other Western PUDs, and I proposed the ideas of a possibility for an interlocal agreement to where the Washington PUDs could submit a joint order that would be a larger quantity in the hopes that we could maybe get moved up to the front of the line. And what we're being told from the vendors is probably wouldn't make any difference. So we are reaching out to our customers, and, like I said, through direct mailings. And we are continuously on a daily basis searching for transformers. Terry Lind, our operations manager, reached out to the city of Port Angeles to see if maybe they could assist us with a few transformers. But again, these wouldn't help with the deficit of the 80. It would be primarily for emergency maintenance replacements, vehicle accidents, those types of things. So that's kind of the status of where we're at right now. And
Sean,
I could, yeah.
When you say vendors, are the vendors the manufacturers or just the retail suppliers?
We reach up to both, Jim.
And so where are these manufacturers? Are they overseas or in this country or where?
I believe, I would have to double check on this, but my understanding is that all of them are in the United States. And John did make a note that we have reached out to some manufacturers in Canada to see if we could maybe use some of the Canadian specs transformers, but they have also said they're experiencing similar supply chain issues. Sounds like the real issue here is the core steel. I guess a lot of that is actually produced in Ukraine and China. And with the lockdowns in China, it's really put a big constraint on supply chains, as we all know. And then obviously with the war in Ukraine, that has halted production.
Sean, you mentioned earlier the strategy of using some pole-based transformers, and then when we get the transformers on the pole, pads, we would replace them. Was that my understanding correct?
If the customer wanted us to, yes, we would come back out and replace it. However, there would be a cost associated with us to do that work. But it is an option for those that are desperate right now.
Okay, yeah, that was where my question was, because it seems like that would be extra labor on our part, and we would end up with a partially used transformer, pole transformer. I was just wondering about how the cost worked on that.
Yeah, because this is such a – I mean, as John presented last month, you know, we were looking at buying 17 transformers the other day at a cost of $115,000, which is just astronomical. And this is a huge rate impact. And so one of the things that we're considering is we're going to have to probably implement a capacity charge for new connections to the system, because all of our transformers historically have been financed through rates. And this needs to be mitigated. So in June, we're probably going to bring forward to the board a proposal for a capacity charge on future connects.
You know, and if one did want to stay with the pole transformer, that's totally up to the customer?
Yes. As long as they're not in a homeowners association that would disallow it, yeah, it'd be completely up to the customer to keep that permanently.
Okay. Well, sorry, we didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
That might be a sticky issue. I've been homeowner association president a number of times. Usually it's governed by the CCRs in an area for undergrounding all utilities. And any variance or deviation from the CCRs requires unanimous consent from the homeowners. It might be a little difficult to get, but especially with new construction. So, anyway.
Yeah, and basically what the plan would be, Will, is we would just put wherever the pad mount transformer was going to go is where we'd put the pole on the overhead, run it up the pole of the transformer, run it back down so that it could be easily removed and once we install the pad mount. So it would be a temporary variance that the homeowners would have to agree to, but considering the landscape that we're in, it's the only viable way to get somebody's service.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's true. Are we in queue? I know we get very long deliveries and tripling of prices and all this, but are we in queue to get to these transformers when they are available? We place the orders, is that right?
Well, yes, so we have 9 outstanding orders at various vendors right now, and all of them keep pushing out their ETAs. So I don't have a good answer. I would like to say that this most recent update where they said the ones we were supposed to get in October of last year will now be here in July. I'd like to say yes, that's guaranteed, but I don't know this, but my suspicion is that why would they deliver us, you know, 100 transformers at a fraction of what they could otherwise deliver them to somebody else right now? So I don't know that that's happening, but I could see that being a potential issue.
So all these purchase orders have an escalation clause for own price, so we can anticipate prices going up as well.
Yeah, when you get the quotes right now, it just says that ETA and pricing is subject to change. So, yeah, there's no, you're not locking in at a price. You're just locking in a quantity.
Yeah. Sounds like a blank check.
Sounds like a BPA contract.
Oh, come on, Jim.
The other thing, just to give you a heads up, we're going to come to the board. Typically, when we do our budget every year, we come to the board with our 10-year vehicle and equipment procurements. But bucket trucks and equipment is now on a 2-year lag. So we're going to try to be proactive and get our orders in for 23 and 24 in June. So we're going to bring that to you all probably at the last meeting in June, an equipment and vehicle list to get those orders going, because we probably won't actually receive them for up to 2 years.
Wow. Do you have any good news, Sean?
It's nice out.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Don't say that. It's going to start raining. You say that.
Yeah.
Any further discussion or questions on this issue? I guess, you know, just looking at everything, 1,200 point drop in the Dow, and there's a lot of predictions by the experts of a deep recession coming, and so I think this is kind of a flavor of what we've got in store for us. I hope we can come up with some contingency plans to kind of mitigate it, but we'll see.
Well, if we ever wanted to manufacture transformers, this is probably a good time to start.
Hey, I bet the EDC would jump on board for that one. Okay, good.
Oh, Rick, you're talking, but you're muted. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rick. I didn't see you.
Sorry about that. I have a suggestion, Sean. I was wondering if it might not be a bad idea to reach out to the PBM and to get this information out to the public in general, so that at least it won't be the first time they've heard it if they call and get the sticker and time frame shock from the PUD.
Yeah, Nicole, you're on, it looks like. Do you mind reaching out to the PDN and taking a lead on that?
Yeah, I can sure do that. I know I got a call from KSQM, and they had something on their news piece about it, because we posted it on our website and then on social media, and it's already, let me see, this particular post has already reached almost 10,000 people. It's really created a lot of engagement. So people are interested, but most of the conversation that came from the Facebook post was, you know, becoming political in nature about who's responsible for the shortages in steel. But it's definitely, the word's getting out there, and I will further contact the PDN and the Gazette and the Forks Forum to make sure they're aware.
How about ONP, Nicole? Are we doing that too?
Yeah, usually when I send a media notice out, it hits all the radio stations and all the print media.
Okay, great.
I actually forgot to mention the social media stuff that Nicole has done. It's very prominent on our website. And as she said, it's also on our Facebook post. And the comments, like she said, a lot of them have turned political, but there is an understanding in general that it's not just us, and they weren't blaming us. It was more, it's just the way of the world right now with everything.
Yeah, they've actually been very supportive. The customers are supportive of us as the PUD.
Thank you.
I would hope that some of these interested parties, the Realtor Association, Builders Association, and all of that would have seen this on our agenda and called in today, but maybe not. We need to probably daylight that this was recorded, and so they can have a look at it when they so choose.
Yeah, no, that is a great suggestion from Rick about reaching out to the PDN. We'll make sure to do that, like Nicole said, Rick. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, anything else on that one?
No, sir, that was it.
Okay, action items. We've got to just what we discussed.
I think we all – yes, okay, I have three action items, Will. I have contact DCD Director Mary Ellen Winborn, and also the Port Angeles City Hydrologist Mike Gallagher's supervisor to try to get some movement on obtaining county water rights, on the county obtaining water rights. The second item is to provide an update on water rights issue to EDC Director Colleen McAleer and ask her if she would be willing to attend and give comments at the county's June 6th work session regarding water issues, and if she would be interested in helping us locate funding. And the third item is to reach out to the PDM and other print and radio media further to share transformer shortages, pricing, and lead time information with the public.
One thing I'll note on the EDC, I also included Colleen in the correspondence that we sent to the North Peninsula Builders Association so that she was aware of the letter and the communications that we sent out.
We might always also include in that that we're going to have updates on this in commission meetings going forward, and so those parties might want to tune into those or attend.
Okay.
Any commission happy with those action items? Do you have anything else?
Sounds good.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, we'll go back to comments from the public.
Yes. If we have any comments from the public at this time, please raise your hand and state your name.
Looks like it's just staff that's left on the...
Yeah, I think our one public person has left the meeting.
Yeah, she dropped off.
She's left the building. Okay. All right, well, good. I guess if there's no other business come before the board, we can adjourn this special session.
Thank you, Commissioners. Yeah, have a great weekend.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye.